This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
One of the things that I love about my smartwatch is it tells me that I've achieved my fitness goal. Well, sometimes anyway. And it's a good feeling, even though I don't necessarily know what exactly I've achieved. But in all seriousness, fitness trackers can be good at helping us stay active. But do we need to buy the most expensive tracker or smartwatch to achieve this outcome? Call Neil van der Lanotta is a professorial research fellow in physical activity and health at Central Queensland University. Welcome to Joy Drive, Cornel.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Why should we use an activity tracker as opposed to just being aware of how much activity we do each day?
Well, activity trackers are really good to sort of help you establish how active you actually are. So they call that self-monitoring. And if so, people that self-monitor that are far more likely to actually be able to increase their activity level than people that don't. So it's one of the most powerful behavior change tools, so to speak, that can support people in making a positive behavior change.
So is it sort of like someone watching over your shoulder and saying, hey, you haven't done enough steps for today?
Sort of. Like a lot of people most people sort of have an idea of how active they are, but it's often not a very accurate idea. And these activity trackers, at least in terms of, you know, activity minutes and steps per day, they're pretty accurate. And so they're really helpful in sort of establishing your baseline and knowing how active you are. And then once you know your baseline, you can start building on that.
What other measurements can these activity trackers do that could be helpful in maintaining our health?
Well, they're getting pretty advanced, so they can do a lot of things. But I would say the most important thing that they do is give you that sort of baseline in terms of steps or activity minutes. But they could also measure, you know, what your resting heart rate is, what your, you know, how your heart is beating during exercise, or what your maximum heart rate is, or your VO2 max. There's a whole range of exercise indicators that they will also measure.
What's the VO2 max?
That's in simple terms, your muscles need oxygen to work, and the more oxygen your body can process, the harder you can work, and therefore the fitter you are. And so the VO2 max is the volume of oxygen that you can breathe maximally over a 1 minute interval. And so this expresses how hard you can work, basically, is how much oxygen your muscles can take in per milliliter or kilogram per minute. So it's a bit complicated, but that's basically what it refers to.
Cornel, when I go to the gym to do my resistance training on each day, I press my, I've got, you know, one of the Apple Watches, I press the activity button and I press, fitness gym routine, and it starts counting down and it gives me my heart rate as I'm doing my exercises. But to be honest with you, I look at it and I think, I don't know if it's high or if it's low. How can we find out what it should be when we're exercising so that we can really utilize these as tools to help us get fit?
Yeah, so in terms of heart rate, I mean, the first thing I would say is that, you know, if your main goal is to, you know, just be a bit more active than you currently are, and you want a bit of support and use an activity tracker for that, that's great. You don't really need to focus on your heart rate. But if you're getting a bit more serious about being active and, you know, getting into exercise, really, then there's a range of heart rate zones. And so to sort of train optimally, you want to be in the right zone, because if you're in a zone too low or too high, it won't be as efficient and you won't get as fit as quick, I suppose. I mean, professional athletes look at this all the time, but recreational athletes, some care and some don't care, and it's okay. But most of the time, people want to be what they call in zone two, which is, you know, your heart rate is clearly higher than when it's at rest, and it's sort of getting a bit hard. You can probably still talk a bit and have a conversation, but it's getting hard. You could sort of start to become being out of breath.
I can tell that I'm definitely not in that zone. I could talk forever when I'm exercising. So I might need to ramp it up just a little bit. Do we need to get, I suppose, the most expensive, you know, Apple Watch Ultra as opposed to the cheaper fitness band? Do we need to spend a fortune to get the same outcome in terms of motivating us to get moving and to get fit?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we don't, right? It all depends on sort of what your goals and objectives are. You know, if you're really serious about your exercise, then yeah, you probably want some of the advanced features that the activity trackers provide. But if you've been inactive for a long time and you think, well, maybe I should do something about that and just, you know, see how I go, then something pretty basic will do a lot for you. You know, if it tracks your steps and tracks your activity minutes, whichever you prefer, then that's really all you need to get going. Even good old pedometers are, I think, a really good tool. All they do is, you know, sit on your hip and count your steps. They're very basic. They cost 20 or 30 bucks. But, you know, they provide you with a baseline of some sort and that will work.
I forgot about the pedometers. I remember there was a phase probably, you know, 20 years ago I was in the office and everyone was wearing them on their hips and comparing in the tea room next to the water cooler how many steps they did for the day.
And basically, when the sort of more advanced activity trackers, they came in after apps became a thing. You know, first we had smartphones, then we had apps. And because these activity trackers, they all sort of link up with an app, and that's sort of where that revolution happened. And then everybody forgot about the pedometer, but they're still pretty good tools.
I must admit, mine does some advanced things. And there was a while ago, I had a bit of a pain in my chest. It was just indigestion, but I took myself off to be checked at the hospital, and I performed a little ECG. And whilst it wasn't medical grade, the triage nurse said, "Oh, look, it's a good indication anyway." And they checked it out, and of course, everything was fine. But I was so shocked that it could even do an ECG.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is something Apple has been focusing on a fair bit, is in how to apply it in sort of for medical circumstances. I'm not really familiar with that literature and how reliable it is, but that's certainly where Apple wants to go with this.
So as a minimum, if we're going to go and buy some sort of fitness tracker, what measurements should we expect or look out for?
It will be very hard to find an activity tracker that doesn't do steps or even activity minutes. For me, those two are sort of the basic, the most basic. But, you know, a lot of the trackers these days, they will sort of include GPS measurement. And then, you know, if you're going for a run, then it can tell you how fast you're running. And those things are all nice. But they're nice to have, but they're not essential, I suppose.
Cornel, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow with my trainer? I am going to say to him, you know what, you don't need to hear all my problems anymore. I shouldn't be able to talk like this for so long. We need to ramp it up.
good idea.
Thanks so much for joining us on Drive today.
My pleasure.
Thank you. That is Cornel van der Lanotte, Professorial Research Fellow from Physical Activity and Health at CQ University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.